I tried so.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Gesundheit with Jacobus. I am your host, Jacobus Hollowine. Dr. Thomas Sexton, Blue Sky Healing Arts Clinic, is my guest this morning. And as I mentioned in the promo, we want to talk about the historical approach to chronic diseases, both from a natural point of view, as has been practiced for thousands of years, and also the use of Western medicine. And as he mentioned in the first half hour, it is really, we start seeing more and more medical doctors who are doing the research and realizing that there is much more to just the symptom. There is a cause of symptom. And he's mentioning the word of a German doctor, Dirk Hammer, H-A-M-E-R, who has started to connect points of disorders, as we call them, physical disorders, physical organs, with possible emotional pain. Now, Louise Hay, many of you may know, have heard her name, Louise Hay also connects organs with emotions, or parts of the body with emotions. And when you look at this, and then a few weeks ago, I talked about the emotion code with the work of Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, called The Body Keeps the Score, which is still a topic I want to expand on in the future. But that also talks about how traumas and PTSD and stressors can affect our physical body, our emotional body, our mental body, and how these traumas therefore have to be processed. So it's very interesting, the topic today, how we start integrating the treatment of what we would call chronic diseases, or chronic diseases that are seem to be, unfixable, so-called, such as cancer. It's unfit. You got cancer, you're going to die. Stroke, you're going to die. Alzheimer's, you're going to die. It is all these concepts that we are being told time and time again, but at the same time, as Dr. Sexton mentioned at the last half hour, the healing starts from within. We have to, there are things that we can do that we have control over, and we should start taking more charge over what we do have control over and let the chips fall where they may. Because also, when you come to the end of the road, you got to look back and say, you know what, as we just had Frank Sinatra's song, but the famous Frank Sinatra song is, I did it my way. You know, you got to come to the end of the road and say, I really feel good the way I approach my life and even the end of my life. And to me, that has to give a certain fulfillment. Good morning, Dr. Sexton.
Well, good morning, Jacobus. And, you know, when you first mentioned the first intro, you're talking about, you know, we have to have a certain sense of self-love, you know, for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about emotional self-love, well-being, emotional well-being, because this is really the key. But how do we establish that, you know, we look for it with other people, with relationships, with the different addictive patternings. We're looking for emotional, I feel good. Well, I worked all this way, I deserve this. The ego deserves, you know, to go out, party, lose my, you know, and then I get drunk and I end up in a car accident. And, well, that wasn't such a smart thing to do. Yeah. So I couldn't achieve it from outside means coming in. Mm-hmm. I have to achieve it from inside, allowing it to come out.
Yes.
And first I have to honor what it is I'm feeling. But most of us don't even know on our conscious level because we're so busy just trying to, you know, make sure I got the food on the table for the kids. I got to make sure that everything's taken care of. I got all the stress going on. Mm-hmm. Well, neurologically, parasympathetically, sympathetically, that's creating responses. Negative in design in regard to the colon health, the microbes in the body. What you think, what you feel affects the blood pH immediately. There's been, you know, this has been evaluated. I mean, this is the scientific response mechanism that happens in the body.
Correct. You can see it.
And as a result, I know in my work in biological medicine and analyzing pHs, oxidative stress value, mineral ion concentrations, blood, urine, kidneys after fasting, that, you know, it changes pH to a point where if a pH is in a certain environmental framework is 7.58, 7.6, the blood pH, Well, that's an oxidized alkaline environment where viruses and cancer develops.
Mm-hmm.
You get a blood pH of 7.35, 7.38 to 7.42, cancer will not grow in that environment.
That's how close the difference is.
Yeah, in the blood pH. And so what regulates blood pH? You know, I mean, it's what's the acidity in the tissues, okay, the acidity in the stomach, okay, the alkalinity in the small intestine, alkalinity in the mouth, acid in the vaginal area, in the colon. So, I mean, it's a matter of compensation regulation. When you lose that ability, then we have disease. But, you know, when you're more positive, oh, let's say you did a two-day fast, whatever, you're more alkaline, all of a sudden your mind's more positive. Whoa. So, gee whiz, what's going on here? And so does food affect health? And, you know, can you eat your way to heaven, you know, and good times? I mean, but many times it's a matter of emotional freedom. 10% of your diet should just be emotional. Feed your emotions, you know? That would be better off than having a strict, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't eat this. You know, what happens? The mind gets narrower, you know, because you're not, you're expelling and exuding a separation from your environment. Meaning, I can't do that. I mean, mentally, you start narrowing your chi, your energy. So, I mean, you should be able to take in these various things, compensate, regulate, and not have any effect, ideally. I mean, they proved it with disease. I mean, certain doctors have swollen smallpox, whatever, just to prove the fact it's the environment, not the pathogens. They show up afterwards.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's just a matter of how do we maintain harmony both internally with the external environment. That's the key to well-being and health. And emotional freedom is really a part of that element. You got to feel to heal. You got to honor your feelings as children. Talk to them. Talk to yourself. You know, have inner conversations. What is this about? You know, why am I having this lower back pain, you know, on a regular basis? Well, oh, I'm dehydrated. I'm not, you know, taking care of myself. I'm working out too much. I'm burning the candle at both ends. And it's stress-related, coffee, energy drinks. And so, oh, maybe I need to change this, do something a little different maybe. Yeah, and so it's talking to you. Well, maybe it's an emotional issue. You're having conflict, not getting support at the house, not getting support in the office. There could be emotional components too.
Absolutely.
And generally so.
Absolutely.
So that's what I see this, you know, that we're becoming a lot more hypersensitive environmentally. We're becoming a lot more empathetic, you know, environmentally. Our boundaries are changing with people, circumstances, civilizations, travel, cultures. We're all amalgamating into, you know, the universal, you know, energy. Okay, we're all part of, you know, the earth, and we're reflective of heaven and earth. So how the earth goes, how the water, the environment, we are a result of that. So if you want, you know, health, yeah, plant trees. I mean, guess what? The trees are giving us oxygen. We have a relationship. They're taking the carbon dioxide. So, you know, thank the trees, you know, for life. And so it, once you start to open up and bring awareness and consciousness to your being, you empty the garbage, all that doesn't work for you, and you receive more light and more energy.
Hmm. Wow.
Pretty simple.
It is. When you look at it that way, it's pretty simple.
Well, we have a lot of accumulated garbage that we're really attached to.
Yeah.
You know, and it's part of our personality and our ego and how we've survived.
Yeah.
It's not our fault. We've done nothing wrong. It's just what we've had to come through to get to this point.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. Very interesting. Dr. Thomas Sexton, Blue Sky Healing Arts Center. Telephone number 522-9733. 522-9733, 406 area code. Yesterday, case in point about this, Dr. Sexton, is that I talked to a person, and it was a female, and she was talking about her daughter who has a ventricular problem in the heart. At the same time, she is dealing with a cough that will not go away. And she says, I just don't know what I can do about it because I don't feel I have a cold. I better just keep having this cough. So I said, well, the lungs have a lot to do with grieving and concern and sadness. And that is exactly what she was talking about with her daughter. And I saw that also on the list from Dr. Hammer, what the lungs are doing. I've heard that from Louise Hay in her book. And so then I talked to her and I said, so what's really going on? And she said, well, she has this ventricular problem and the doctor wants to put her on medication, etc. I said, well, the heart has to do with love But at the same time, it can have to do with hatred, anger, resentment. And then she starts talking about how her and her husband, the mother, have divorced, and that really the dad is a complete narcissist, and he has never approved, unless the daughters were perfect, he would say something good. If they were just slightly below what his ideal of perfection is, he would literally just put them down. And so you have these people who their whole life has been centered around a dad who has not been involved, who doesn't support, but they still want his opinion. That started at a very, very young age, that has been imprinted in them. And the dad will not give him compliments, will not tell him he loves him. He will not do that. And so where the mother is really taking care of him, and these are adult children today, when the mother is really giving him advice and trying to help him, she doesn't feel that she is cutting through in the messages that she gives. But when the dad says, "You've really disappointed me," it devastates their life, even though he's not even in their life anymore. Yeah. So it's really, I think that if your daughter can forgive herself and move on and say, "I have a lot of work to do. I cannot get bowed down by somebody who is this negative. And I need to surround myself by people who love me, who show love, who show appreciation and respect, instead of having that kind of memory hanging over my head." I said, I think that the physical problems that the heart doctor in town is trying to medicate, I said, that disease will simply go away. But this is a wake-up call. You have a heart problem that needs to be addressed. Your heart is giving out, showing you the actual symptom, the pain that is deeper inside. You fix the deeper inside, if that's possible, and it will be, then the heart automatically will restore itself. And I told the mother the same. The reason why you're coughing is because you are so concerned about your daughters, because there is all kinds of issues going on that they used to express their pain, to express their sadness, and that concerns the mother, right? So she's concerned about it. She feels the sadness, et cetera, et cetera. So do you understand my point that I'm trying to make here?
Well, there's a lot of different points you're making from this type of discussion. Yeah, but the interaction of this is brought up. I mean, scientifically can be proven that these patternings, these adaptations that these children do to a narcissistic, I mean, and in an abusive situation, the first law of healing in these kind of situations is to exudate or to remove yourself from that environment. I mean, number one, so any abusive situation, the first thing is go anywhere, any place, any situation to get out of it before you can come into your own sovereign nature again, because you're being subjugated undermined, especially with a narcissist. You're always subtly, you know, but you have to take full responsibility. It's not happening to you. It's happening for you.
Yeah.
So it's happening for the growth of the inner soul, that edification. Once they adapt that they take on this role, it starts to change the dynamic. Once they start understanding that you're not a victim it's not your fault, but you take the chose to overcome this and this is their problem.
Yes.
This is their situation. Mm-hmm. And how do you then give it back, so to speak, and claim your original sovereign energy again, you know, soul healing. This is where all the, you know, type of things, and bringing, you know, your power back. I'm all the love I really need. You know, I forgive you, you know, because I'm whole within myself. And you have to feel that self-love.
You have to feel it.
And you have to honor it within yourself. And not transfer, like the mother's transfers of all the anxiety,
yes,
all the depression, all the sadness that she experienced, feels responsible for and shame. Mm-hmm. Then she transfer, all of my anxiety. Now I'm not really assisting the situation, but I'm displacing it upon the children as well. So I'm part of the problem. You know, even though I'm empathetically feeling all their needs and wants and desires, you know, but I'm not helping it. I have to wash off all of my anxieties and understand that they've chosen to come into this situation, mm-hmm, for whatever reason, to heal it. Generally speaking, they take it all on to break the genetic codes three generations of genetic codes.
Yes.
You know, we've come as empaths to heal the planet. We come as healers to heal the planet. You know, take that responsibility to change consciousness, and it's an opportunity for growth. Mm-hmm. But scientifically, there's stuff that biochemistry, and then, as you've said, they're already having physical symptoms.
Yes.
So that's already transferred from the brain and the lesion to the neurological parasympathetic response. That's already been trained and ingrained.
Yes.
So that's how
yes.
you stick a needle in somebody. It goes underneath the skin, unable to then, you know, regulate and control, because the ego wants to control everything. They have to release, let go. So many of these traumas, they just black out. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just didn't exist. But yeah. So you open it up, you facilitate life into these areas that we store and compartmentalize psychologically in order to survive. And so when we do the needle, that is very powerful technique. It opens up the meridian, and all of a sudden people are crying on the table. People experience emotions, memories. You know, they have a bad dream, a toxic dream that comes up in relation to an issue they had forgot about. Oh, was that related to their, you know, indigestion, mm-hmm. their depression? Is it related to this chronic pain situation that they have? You know, because they just want that fixed. But the inner work is, I got to feel what's behind it. I got to have a relationship and not be in conflict with my own body. You know, I'm using my body, but I'm abusing my body, but I'm not honoring my feelings, my emotions. You know, how do I really react to a circumstance? Case in point, if you want to take a caller, that's fine. No, otherwise, I'm going to go into a little.
I may have been in, what do you call it? These robocalls, because they hung up.
Well, I just want to give.
There's another one. Let's do this. Let's
otherwise, I'm going to go into a scientific, documentation of how this sets up in the unconscious mind.
Let's get a caller first. Good morning, caller. Thanks for joining us today. What's your name? How can we help you, please?
Yes, good morning. So, Dr. Sexton, since you're a pioneer in this bioenergy therapy, I was wondering if you could, question one, if you could explain the foundations and the basic principles of this therapy, and question two, do you think it would be helpful for anyone, regardless of their health situation? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Well, maybe you have a follow-up question. Do you understand the questions, Dr. Sexton? Let's start with number one. Is that okay? Would you mind staying on the phone?
Sure.
That's all right. You're exposing, you know. So the first question
is about the foundation of his what he says, right?
Right. The bioenergy therapy, the foundations and the basic principles. And then is that something that could be helpful to anyone?
Well, first of all, the whole concept of bioenergetic, what is the term she used?
Bioenergetic, explain the foundations of bioenergetic medicine and the basic principles.
Okay. Have you ever seen any photographs of the Kirlian photography, the phantom limb syndrome?
No, I have not.
No. Okay.
It's fascinating to look it up. Kirlian, K-I-R-L-I-A-N.
Well, I mean, in other words, you know, what makes the heart beat? First, I mean, life. I mean, energy. What is all different forms of wavelengths of patterns, electromagnetic energy? Life is full of, you know, a vital force, you know, I guess. So that's the basis principle, understanding that what makes your heart tick, what's behind the physical form of consciousness. How can you describe consciousness? And so as far as validating life, we want to bring more life and vitality into the system in regard to the energetic principles. But, I mean, it's a nebulous bioenergetic medicine. It has foundational principles in homeopathy, in Chinese medicine, in Ayurvedic traditions, and how we look at tridosha, the three major elements in the body. In Chinese medicine, we have five elements in the body of earth, water, metal, fire, and wood. And these are related, like wood element would be the liver. And so there's a whole foundational principle, theory, practice, 4,000 years in tradition. And so scientifically, to prove some of these principles, like in homeopathy, that's where it's run amok. Because, I mean, how can you talk about something maybe you can't even smell, maybe you can feel and touch, but the hidden life force. But it's not hidden. It's been scientifically, now we're starting to catch up to it. We did electroimpedance testing of acupuncture points. Oh, this finger meridian's related to the large intestine, depending on where we treat it. So, I mean, there's a whole science of understanding, but it's an energetic science of tradition.
Well, I want to add to that, Dr. Sexton. When you look at MRIs, mm-hmm. MRIs are able scientifically to show that when your brain is being tested and you are exposed while you're in the MRI machine to stories of trauma and sadness or happiness or recalling bad experiences in your life, there is a change in the pattern of the brain. The amygdala, the hypothalamus, the hippocampus, these are all affected by changes in anger, in total fear. When there is total fear while you're laying there quietly, and these images are portrayed to you either in word or in pictures, there is an immediate change in the brain. And that is where the science has said, whoa, when this happens to a person, when we get exposed to certain information, there is an immediate change in the energy of the brain, in the shape of the brain. So when people start reacting in fear, or what we call fight or flight, or stress in different forms,
yes.
It shows up. There is a physical manifestation in the body. When they did the brain, that's what they saw. When you look at the heart, they see the heartbeat accelerate or slow down.
Yes.
We can see liver enzymes accelerate after strong exercises. We can see the bowels, the vagus nerve that has been discovered by scientists, show that when there is a certain mood, it can affect the bowel movement or the stomach, or the stomach gets really upset, mm-hmm. Or calms down when there is a calm moment or there is an excitable moment. So I understand the question, caller, about the foundation of bioenergy medicine and the basic principles. The foundation is in thousands of years of showing, and Chinese medicine, my understanding is that if a Chinese herbologist of an herbalist, when they presented something to the emperor said, if it shows that it can be safe and effective for 100 years without any problems, so three generations, mm-hmm. it will become part of the Chinese pharmacopoeia. Mm. And that is over time how Chinese herbology has established itself as something that is safe and effective. So you cannot, when you look at Western medicine and the amount of medications that we have produced in the last 100 years that have not been tested for 100 years to see if they're actually safe and effective, mm-hmm. then we understand why they come with so many, a list of so many side effects, because we really don't know what it can do in the long run.
I bow before your knowledge. Go, great one. That's awesome.
Well, it's true.
But, you know, the very simple bottom line, as I explained to electricians, you have pain, you have blockage. What kind? I don't know. Does it matter? I don't know. You got diagnosis now. Oh, now you're identified with a disease. You know, it's just a label.
Yeah.
But there's for MS, Parkinson, I mean, bottom line, answer your question, excuse me, didn't mean to digress. But so if there's blockage, there's pain. And so when we put in needles, we're trying to augment and open up the blockage energetically, which then affects circulation, affects tissue structure.
We got to continue with that. We got to go. There's a heartbreak coming up.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Bye.